Morning, and the beauty of our praise to God and in song. Thank you, John, for leading us in those songs and the encouragement. I want us to talk about our community this morning, and not the community of Sumner or Bonnie Lake or Washington. I want to talk about us. And if you're visiting with us, I hope that you're able to relate, or maybe in us talking about ourselves, you can find yourself somewhere in the mix and find something that you can take home from today. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Lamentations, that's in the Old Testament, and great similarities that I want to point out in this passage, in this book, that we can find. You know, we all share some things in this life. People being people that we work around or live around, or maybe our neighbors, people have attitudes sometimes that they're better than us. Maybe we have attitudes sometimes that we're better than some of you. But we all share, and I want us to see that this morning in our time together, that whether you're rich or poor, young or old, doesn't matter. We all share some things in common. And that's the beauty of the Bible. God knows He created us. And so God gives us what we need. For all of us, one of the things that we share is at times in all of our lives, if we were honest and admit it, sometimes our lives just kind of tumble in. Sometimes just things don't go right. Disappointments seem daily. Maybe our hopes have become crushed. Dreams maybe disappear. People that we've depended on for strength and encouragement, they're no longer there. Voices that God has sent to help guide us have gone on. Sometimes we maybe feel overwhelmed, abandoned, lost, trapped, fenced in. We share all of that together. We all at times have felt that way. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe even today, some of us might find ourselves feeling that way. So I would like for us this morning to spend some time focusing on that, if you would, please. I want us to be real with one another. I want us to be honest with one another, especially with ourselves. So I want you to step in the time machine with me, the go-back machine. And I'd like for us to go back to Jerusalem. The year is 586 BC, and it was just this sort of time for the prophet and God's people that Lamentations was written. Jeremiah has a five-chapter lament, hence Lamentations, about the situation. So I'm going to have a couple of assignments for you all this week. And number one, I would like you to make a promise to yourself and God that this week you'll read the five chapters of Lamentations, if you would, please. And I want to see if you can find yourself in those, because I found myself. And the second thing is that I'm going to be sending an email to all of you and using the church website. And if you're not on that, then and you would like it, give me your email and I'll send it to you. I'm going to send you a small little note about the book of Ecclesiastes after the lesson this morning, and I want you to see even there how maybe we share something. In April of 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar had breached the wall of Jerusalem, and those people inside had fled by night. Many of them were killed or captured by the Babylonians. A month later, the temple fell and the city was burned. Now, it's hard for us to get a feel for that, not being a Jew or living there in Jerusalem. The beauty and the enormity and everything that Jerusalem meant was so huge. This is like something that just couldn't be done. If somebody were to say, do you know what's going to happen? They'd say, that's just not going to happen. We're God's people. This is God's city. That's God's temple. Lamentations 1 and 2 tell about. And Jeremiah writes, and as he writes, he's crying. In fact, he says that the water flows down his face. The city's gone. This great city's streets are all empty. Her beauty's departed. The temple of God lies in ruins. Those mighty walls and those magnificent huge gates, they're destroyed. They've been pulled down. Smoke rises from the rubble, much like a city that's had a bombings go off in the city. Her foes have become her masters. Her children are dead or have been taken away in exile. Her reputation, once great, is now being laughed at and made fun of. The Lord seems to have absolutely, totally rejected them and the city. And he's multiplied her mourning and her lamentation and her heartbreak. That's the setting in Lamentations 1 and 2. Then in chapter 3, which is where I want us to really focus our time this morning, the prophet, he changes his lament and focus to himself. And that's really what I want us to do this morning. You know, I want us to, if we can't focus on ourselves and the message on me instead of the message on someone else that we might think of, then we miss the opportunity. Jeremiah feels rejected, trapped, and hedged in. And he says he feels as if God has made him a target of his arrows. I can't help but try to paint just a real bleak picture for you. That's how he felt. And again, I'm wanting to find how maybe some of us are feeling this morning with the medical issues that are confronting our group and our family here. That the fight just sometimes you just want to give up. You're tired. Amen?
Amen.
And so it is in this lament this morning. Jeremiah is in tears for his people and for his city and the temple and for himself. What an awesomely sad moment in Israel's history. But I want you to see that right in the middle of this quadruple lament, right in the middle of all of this bleakness, Jeremiah stops and he says something odd. Look with me down at verse 20. He says, "Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me." But in spite of this, verse 21 says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope." He says, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail." We in another version says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And then if we jump ahead a little bit to verse 32, "For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion, according to his abundant loving kindness." And then jump with me down to verse 39. "Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his own sins? Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. We lift up our hearts and hands toward God in heaven." Can we really justifiably have the right to complain, brothers and sisters? Really? In light of all the blessings that God just showers upon us all the time, indeed, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Amen. We're on a lifetime planned event of a vacation with our family. Something maybe we've looked forward to for years and years and years, and we've planned. And we're going down life's highway, and we're loving the time. We're singing together or whatever. And we have a flat tire. And Satan wants us to focus on the flat tire. He wants it to ruin that day, if not the whole vacation. Do you see the point? See, God loves us and loves us and loves us, and it goes on and on and on like the Energizer bunny. But when the toy that's being run by the Energizer bunny tips over and it's laying there on its side, it's still going. And we want to be upset because it tipped over. So this morning, I want us to see from this Lamentations passage that we need to keep our focus. We need to stay focused, not on something that's bad or something that's a tough time in our life, but let's stay focused on the good and the beauty and the richness of God's love in our life. That's what the lesson would be this morning. Jeremiah stops his lament and starts focusing on God's blessings. And really, to some extent, maybe we could feel that way right now. Certainly, we could feel the heart of Jeremiah a short time ago. And I say a short time ago, a few years ago. We didn't feel what we feel and see now. And so we need to focus on how faithful God has been in our lives and in this church. And that same God is on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
And that same God is there providing blessings for us. We have a tendency to forget. We're that way as human beings. When things don't go as we want, or things don't go as we wish, or things don't go as maybe we've planned, we have a tendency to forget all the good and focus on the bad. So here's the picture I want us to see together this morning. Regardless of the trials and the troubles and the temptations and all the problems that come about that we face, keep in mind, God loves us.
Amen.
God blesses us. God is always showing his goodness to us. And God's always lavishing his loving kindness on us. You see, even when the tumor is malignant, even when a lab report comes back with discouraging results, maybe the heart attack was fatal. Maybe the stroke has caused some other physical challenges. Maybe the business failed. Maybe there's an impending doom of bankruptcy. Maybe when a family relation collapses, even leads to divorce. Whatever the situation is, brothers and sisters, God is still there. And God is still on his throne. And God is still wanting to bless as he always has blessed. Satan is the one that wants us to focus on the things in our life that would be depressing and disappointing and hopeless. And if we allow that to happen, can you imagine the heartbreak of God sitting there with everything, wanting to bless his child? But we don't want to allow him. If we'll allow God one thing, it'll help us to stay focused. And that's allow him the time to work in our lives. Some of us this morning might feel like Jeremiah, might feel like crying, might even feel like giving up this morning. Because maybe you feel your life has tumbled in. But like Jeremiah, I want to ask that you stop this morning and count your blessings. David wrote in the psalm, "Even though I'm called to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his goodness, his mercy, and his loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that beautiful? In spite of all of those challenges, David was able to say, "I know where I'm headed. And I know that God will walk me through it." Jesus said in John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe and trust in God. Believe and trust in me." The part of that verse that really encourages me the most is the very beginning. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And that's not a light or easy thing. You know, when you go to someone and maybe at a time you're trying to encourage him and you want to say, "I know how you feel." No, you don't. No, you don't. And I hope you never have to come about feeling what I feel. let's remind each other in our encouraging. And I know y'all have been so good to reach out to and encourage the families that we have amongst us that are being challenged right now. And they have tried in so many ways to let you all know how important it is. So we want to continue to do that. But brothers and sisters, as we are doing that, we will be reminding ourselves that God's in control. And when those times come to me, I want to remember what I'm trying to encourage others with. Let not your hearts be troubled. When life doesn't go as we want, and it will, what do we do? So I want to share with you this morning seven things quickly that how God continues to shower his steadfast love on us. First of all, very simply, something that we all can relate to. He showers his love on us through nature itself. This is our Father's world. All nature sings his song. This last spring, as we've seen the beautiful spring that we've had and the summer that we're enjoying, it's all for us. God provides food for our hunger, water for our thirst, sleep for our being worn out and tired, sight for our eyes, sounds for our ears, one another for our fellowship and encouragement, strength for today, hope for tomorrow. And God does that every day for all of us, whether we recognize it or not. See, the big thing is here in regards to recognizing things that we often take advantage of by not remembering this, it's regardless of how we think or feel. Satan uses our feelings to his purpose, and we need to realize that. It doesn't matter if you're down. That doesn't change what God is wanting to do for you. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to stay focused on that. And Lamentations 3:22 said, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Did you hear that? His compassions never fail. Because of his love and mercy, we're not consumed. Jeremiah basically saying that we owe every second of our amazing life to his love and to his power. Years ago, there was a famous beer commercial that said, you only go around once in life. Live it with all the gusto. Well, you know, to some degree, that's true. We only do go around once in life. And we should be living it with all the gusto and not some suds, but the love of God. And realizing that Satan is trying so hard to distract us with other things. Things that are sinful, things that are depressing. God wants us to stay focused on him. Paul said that he forgets about what's gone in the past, and he presses on to the prize of the great high calling of Christ Jesus to call us to heaven. So we need to stay focused on that. It's in him that we live and move and have our being, Paul said in Athens in Acts 17. It's in him that we have all these things. You see, brothers and sisters, no matter how rough the road, no matter how deep the valley, no matter how dark the night, no matter how painful the hurt, no matter how lonely the moment or how overwhelming the event is, like Jeremiah, we need to count our blessings. We need to count our blessings. Hebrews chapter 12, such a great, great lesson for us in regards to these things. Because of those who went before, and then there's that great cloud of witnesses, we need to stay focused. Because whatever your excuse or my excuse is about what we're going through and why we deserve a pity party, they've been through much worse, amen? They've been through so much worse. And in light of that group of witnesses cheering us on from above, we have the key witness in Jesus Christ, says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So you say, how can you make that? I had a call this week from a brother in Tennessee, and he called and he said, he's in the hospital and he's really struggling, and his wife has dementia, and he's trying to do all of these things and still maintain as a minister his work with the church, and his leg's broken, and it's he's up against it. He can't sleep. And he said, "Brother, I'm just calling to say, how did you do all the things that you went through?" And I said, "Brother, you got to stay focused. In those painful moments, in the sleepless night, don't focus on that. Focus on God's greatness and God's love and God's being there and his presence in your life. And think of Jesus Christ. He stayed focused on the joy that was before him.
Amen.
The dying on the cross and paying the price for all of our sins. That's how he was able to endure the cross. He stayed focused on the joy. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. Stay focused on the joy that's before us. Satan wants us to keep our eyes off that and to focus on the event at the time. Number two. Secondly, God demonstrates his mercy through his unconditional love. You know, perhaps nobody, no writer in the Bible speaks of God's love more than the Apostle John. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," John 3:16. Twice in his epistle, 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16, he talks about God is love. That says it all, doesn't it? That says it all. God is love. So here's some other passages I want to share with you. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "Nothing in all creation, nothing in this world, nothing out of this world can separate us from the love of God that was in Christ Jesus our Lord." The promises can't get any better. No matter how bleak it seems, no matter how painful the moment, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were sinners, while we had turned our backs on God, even those moments in today's life and in today's time, do we deserve God's love? No. Have we been good enough to earn it? No. God keeps loving us. Satan would have us to focus on those moments of weakness where we struggled and failed and think that you are so undeserving, Bill. How can you ask God to help you through this? I can do that because I focus on the fact that nothing can separate me from the love of God through Jesus. See, sin doesn't separate me from the love of God because Jesus cleanses that. And it's with that encouragement that I can find ways to go on. Romans 5 and verse 5. "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit." I really like this because the word for shed abroad here in Romans 5 says God's love is flooded in our hearts. Is flooded, deluged, just overflowing, just more than we could imagine. And the other thing is the tense of of this word says that it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's not something that he's working on. You know, often we misuse the verse that says that where Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions and I go to prepare that. He's not up there with a saw and a hammer right now. He did that on the cross. It's a done deal. Isn't that great? It's a done deal. And there's no going back. And we can hang on to that like a drowning person might hang on to a life ring. Just like Job. And this morning, Brother Downey had said to me, you know, talked about, he had mentioned Job. This passage in Lamentations is almost, you know, item by item. Satan wants to distract us. We need to keep focused on God's goodness. Satan wants us, just like he wants us to dwell on the sin in our life, to keep us from going on and realizing and accepting that God's forgiven our sins through Jesus. Satan wants us to know and be reminded every day as we go through trouble, sometimes every minute of the day. When we can't sleep, what do? We focus on the fact we can't sleep. I do anyway. That's me. I went 3 days with no sleep at one time. And I literally, the doctor said I was sleep drunk. Well, I've never been drunk in my life, so I don't know if that's what drunk is. I don't want any part of it. But I sat on the edge of the bed, and I was just nothing. I was just numb. I was so exhausted, but I couldn't sleep. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We need to not focus on what's in front of us, but focus what is before us on the cross and God's loving goodness. 1 John 5, 13 to 15, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that we have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have in approaching him. The confidence that we can have that God is going to see us through something is the confidence in what he's done. What's he done in your past? If you can't think of something that God's done in your past, all those witnesses in Hebrews, think of all the things God's done in their life. So brothers and sisters, regardless of our thoughts toward God, regardless of how we feel maybe this morning, or regardless of how we felt this week, regardless of how it seems, God's blessings continue to be showered upon us. God's love is without limits. God's love is amazing grace. And we need to focus on that. Just like those who struggle and climb the mountain, maybe bruise a knee, bust a knuckle, they never complain about the view when they get to the top. Notice that? And the same thing with us. If we can keep our focus on even a small portion of the love of God in our life and never stop submitting to his will, we'll be able to focus and to make it pull through to enjoy that view of heaven when we're there. Jesus made this observation. When you come to this recognition, when you realize the enormity of God's love and what it is, then you'll love me. And Jesus said, and you'll keep my commandments. You'll do the will of my Father, and we'll come and make our home and our abode in you, John 14, 23. So this morning, how many of you, just for a moment here, have been able to capture a glimpse of God's love and the enormity of keeping that focused in your life to make it through the challenges of each and every day? Number three, God demonstrates his love through his faithfulness. Steady as always. You know, today's our world, there's so much unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness in husbands and wives, unfaithfulness in business promises that were broken, unfaithfulness in government officials and politicians, unfaithfulness in the news, finding unfaithfulness in our friends, unfaithfulness in the church. Dare I say unfaithfulness in this church? And you know why I say that? Not because we're some ungodly group of people, but because we are people. And we all have failures. And maybe someone here, maybe me, maybe I failed you and haven't been faithful. And if that's the case, come to me so that I can ask you to forgive me. And I can become faithful as God would have me to be in your life. Maybe it was in our attendance. Maybe in giving. Maybe in our efforts to say no to sin. Maybe it's in our ministry that we haven't been faithful. In our love and patience with one another, we haven't been faithful. There's so much unfaithfulness around us that it's easy to become cynical and not counting on the faithfulness of God. That's human nature. We feel like we just can't trust anybody anymore. But you see, with God, faithfulness never fluctuates. He's eternally dependable. Great is his faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7-9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is faithful, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Psalm 36:5, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. 2 Timothy 2:13, even if we are faithless, God remains faithful. You know, ever ask somebody, is there anything that God can't do? You know? And the answer to that, I guess, would be no, God could do anything. But you see, God can't deny his faithfulness. When God says it, that's the way it is. He's not going to go back on it. And he can't deny that. You go look at the passage, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. So this morning, church, do you know why that we can't or don't appreciate God's faithfulness today? Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations 3, 25 and 26. He says, I'm reading, and I'll be reading here from the New King James, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It's good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. See, we don't appreciate the love of the Lord, or we don't appreciate the enormity of his love. We're too big of a hurry. We're too impatient. We want something that's on our timetable, not God's. But really, to sum it up, I want to come back to our point. We lose our focus. We lose our focus. God is always there. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And when we become unwilling to wait for God to fulfill his promises on his schedule, then we stand at risk of not capturing those things. At the Red Sea crossing, Moses said, Exodus 14 and verse 13, don't be afraid. So what are your challenges right now in your life, each and every one of you? What is it, the thing that Satan's wanting you to worry about? Moses says, don't be afraid. Stand still and witness God's faithfulness today. I think we need to do that sometime. We just, you know, I need to shut up and sit down, close my eyes, and be still and watch the blessings of God. God is heard saying in the psalm, be still and know that I am God. Or plainer, I like this verse. I went and looked at some different versions. This is Psalm 46:10. Calm down and learn that I am God. I like that. Calm down. Don't we get wrapped around the axle and we're all, you know, we're so consumed with a situation right before us right now. We just need to be calm and realize the same God is still on the throne. And that same God is going to take care of this. See, brothers and sisters, our patience has got to give God time to work all things out to our benefit, to our good, to our betterment. That's his promise. And he is faithful. We need to believe it and live like it. Number four here is God demonstrates his love in discipline. Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 11. We don't like this, but it's true. God disciplines us because he loves us. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? So he's talking here about discipline is an encouragement. And he goes on to say that, and don't lose heart when he rebukes you because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Although he was a son, he learned obedience in his suffering, Hebrews 5, 8. God is a God of discipline. And I want to hurry on. I'm going to jump over some things that I wanted to share with you this morning about God's discipline. We think of discipline as a spanking or something bad. You know, it's like, you know, this is going to be terrible. What about an athlete? When an athlete disciplines his body, he's not always doing something that's painful. I mean, you know, he's getting it in order. And God wants to do that in our lives. Number one, he wants to do it so that we will deter destruction in the end. Secondly, he wants to do it by using words and actions. I never could understand that as a child when my dad would say, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. I never understood that till I became a father. Okay, I didn't do it because I loved inflicting pain on my children. I did it because I loved them and I wanted them to grow and to avoid this problem next. Number three, God disciplines because of his great love. Number four, the goal of God's discipline is for us to honor him as our Father and ultimately share in his holiness. Results of God's discipline, short-term pain, long-term gain. The book of Hebrews is filled with examples and encouragement along these lines. When life doesn't go as we want, and it will, we mustn't wring our hands in hopelessness, but ask God the Father, what is it you want me to learn from this, God? How can I be a better servant and child of yours through this? You ever hear the term the school of hard knocks? See, in the school of hard knocks, there's only two courses. Really simple. There's the class on needful knocks. Those are the ones when you get knocked and you learn your lesson. You know, you graduated. Let me tell you, I've got honor. I'm an honor graduate in some of those classes. And you know why? Because I went through the other class. That's the class of needless knocks. That's when you get a knock and you don't learn anything. So guess what? You got to repeat that class. You know? And isn't that's true in my life. It might be in yours. The sooner we learn the lesson, the sooner we graduate and move on. And God wants us to. Our prayer to God should be, God, help me to see your steadfast love in these moments. You know why? They're not. It's a moment of shaping, isn't it? It's a moment of God helping us. You know, we were that rough diamond that was ugly on the outside, and God knew just where to put that tool to strike it, to see the beauty of all those facets. And that's what God wants to do to all of us. And when we're finished, we'll shine as the most beautiful stone around God's throne for eternity, singing praises to him. Stay focused on what's to come. Stay focused on God's faithfulness. Number five, we experience God's love through his forgiveness. Romans chapter 3, 23, there's none righteous, not one. Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. But we don't have to bear and we don't have to bear the shame of it, and we shouldn't be dwelling on our guilt, brothers and sisters. Be dwelling on the cleansing. Be dwelling on the good. In Luke 15, the three examples that are there, the shepherd that left the 99 and went after the one lost, the woman who lost the coin and literally dug up the floor, so to speak, and then the prodigal, the three examples that say God loves us and God wants each and every one of us to be welcomed home in the end. And for us to do that, we got to stay focused. We don't earn heaven, but we need to stay focused on what God has done for us. Praise God for his grace and goodness and his kindness. Number six, the steadfast love of the Lord is seen in the promise of heaven. When are we going to learn and start living as if life is not all there is? This life is not all there is. This is an opportunity. This is a time for a life. There is life after life. And this life is a getting ready. It's a rehearsal. It's a preparation for our eternal existence with God the Father and his Son Jesus. So I'll be emailing all of you a wonderful little article. Life's a merry-go-round. And are we going to be caught up in all of the sound of the music and the lights flashing and all of the fantasies of the horses and you're going through the air? Are we all going to be caught up in that? Are we going to see that this is life? We're all going to share in a coming and a living and a growing and a dying. And the merry-go-round just keeps going. God said he's going to send his son one day. And that merry-go-round is going to stop. Let's don't just stay focused on the bad things in this life. Stay focused that Jesus comforted his disciples in John 14 by saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. In Isaiah 64, 3-9, you did awesome things that we didn't expect. You came down and mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. What about you this morning? Can you set a goal for yourself this week to stay focused on God and His greatness? John describes heaven as a place where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more separation. All will be joyful and happiness forever. God, help us to live our lives, brothers and sisters, like we're expecting that, because we should be. Finally, number 7, and the lesson of the years, God's love is seen in His sacrifice for our sins by sending His Son. God so loved the world. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Therefore, I will hope in Him. This morning, if your sky is black, if you see a storm cloud gathering this morning, if you've got a sense of despair and hopelessness, or maybe your dreams seem to be fading away, follow the lead of Jeremiah and stay focused on a dependable, faithful, loving God this morning. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. What do you and I need this morning? We need to live in that steadfast love of the Lord. So this morning, if you find yourself in a situation where you believe that there's a God and you want to lay hold of those blessings, the baptistry is ready. If you believe in Him, you can come forward and you can participate in a New Testament baptism, having your sins washed away. Maybe you need to confess some faults this morning, the challenges that you're going through, that you haven't been as faithful as you should be. Maybe you want to ask for the prayers of the church that you could be stronger and we could help you, and you ask for our help. Maybe today you just need, as we sing the invitation song, to realize, I need to slow down and be still and hear the Lord. This morning, I need to be still and wait for Him. Open our eyes and see and appreciate the steadfast love of the Lord. It never ceases. Whatever your needs are, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?